Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 94, stanzas 1 and 3 through 5. Thy mercy and thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky, and thy judgments are a mighty deep, and as the mountains high. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter number 94. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with verse 57 through verse 80. Luke 1, verses 57 through 80. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 1, beginning with verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou still permittest us to have a place upon this earth, though that our hearts and our lives do testify against us moment by moment. And thou knowest all that is within and without, for thou art the searcher of the heart and the trier of the reins, and there is nothing that is hid from the light of thine eye, that thou knowest not even the most hidden thoughts and the motives that lie within our hearts. And yet thou still continuest our life in the way of thy providence to uphold us in our being and to give to us the strength for every movement and motion. And thou art guiding everything to a certain and determinate end, that end which thou thyself hast decreed, that is for the welfare of thy church, and for the honor and the glory of thy holy name. And we, each one of us, with our dear children, and they are also within thy counsel. We do not know what it is, but thou dost command us to use the means for our conversion. And Lord, we have come up in this morning hour, and there is nothing in us, not also our coming up, because thou knowest our form and our custom and all our hypocrisy. But, oh, could it please thee to remember us despite us, and to not look upon us in our guilt and in our sin. But wilt thou be pleased to look on us in thine only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased, and thou wast pleased to send him forth into this world, that he might suffer and die for the sin of thy church. Oh, could it please thee to grant the application to us and to our dear children. We may have read in thy word of those who may rejoice. And then it is a wonder that there is any rejoicing here below. Man rejoices even in all his emptiness and vanity in this world, and does not know and realize that it is soon going to be an eternal mourning and weeping and gnashing of teeth. But those that do mourn and weep, thou sayest they are blessed, they shall rejoice. And so we have also read it together out of thy holy word. And that which thy servant may rejoice in on behalf of thy true church, over the length and breadth of the world and through every age of the times, then thou hast a people, O Lord. Leave us not behind in our children. O thou knowest that the end times, they are upon us. And thou dost make a short work upon the earth, and that soon it all will be finished. And we all together with our ancestors and with the generation to come, and we shall stand before thy eternal judgment seat. Lord, we beseech thee, oh, bless thou the means this day to young and old in our midst, and that we may be given also to rejoice in time to come, and when thy own work may become evident, that thy children may be brought into that place where they cannot bring themselves, because our nature that rebels against losing our life. But thou dost say that he that will save his life shall lose it, and he that will lose it for my sake even, he shall find it. Oh, then thou must become too strong for us, and thou must lead us in that way that our flesh does not desire, and that we may enter a little bit into the greatness of our misery, that we may come to acknowledge our guilt and our inability to deliver ourselves, and that thou may look upon us to reveal in our hearts thine only begotten Son. Oh, we look forward to the commemoration of his birth in this world. Oh, could it please thee to make a place in the hearts of thy children, and that he may be born therein, and that they may be given to rejoice in his birth. Oh, that they may be among those that have been prophesied of by thy servant Zechariah. Wilt thou look upon all of us who have no desire? Oh, what makes us to differ? Because we are all the same guilty in our father Adam. And it is thy own hand and thy own counsel that does make a distinction between man and man. But we beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee, when there is no longing, when there is no desire this day, oh, that thy Spirit may come, that it may work that miracle. Thou dost say it thyself, that we have to be born again if we will ever enter into the kingdom of God. O Lord, that is thy work. We beseech thee. Do it, Lord. Oh, do it for the sake of thy great name. And do it that thy kingdom may come amongst us. Oh, do it for the sake of thy truth, that may still be among us. Do it for the welfare of the souls, that we may be born again, that we may learn to mourn, that one day our mourning may be turned into dancing. Wilt thou lead also thy church from step to step unto Zion? Thou knowest the poverty of our day. O Lord, come thou, and wilt thou instruct more and more, that there may be a people who are not able to go on with all that they have received, that it may be taken away as a foundation, and that thou may lead them even unto the court of justice. Oh, that thou may bring them to acknowledge thy just judgment. Oh, that thou may give a little rest in the agreement therewith. Oh, that thou may give the solution, that thou may speak as judge in the midst of thy church, and that thou may bring back again that the knowledge of reconciliation with that God whom they have come to love may be known, felt, and experienced, and that the mouths may go open to tell of the wonders of the Lord. Lord, remember young and old, those who are frail and that have needs of the mind and the body. Wilt thou be on the right and on the left hand. When the grasshopper does become a burden, and when desire fails because man goes to his long home, and when they are afraid of the things that are high, and the fears do increase in the way, O Lord, remember them. And O, be near to their souls, to grant what they cannot grant unto themselves in all their fears, and supply grace to live and die. Wilt thou look upon the young? O, grant true conversion. Remember her that is in the hospital. O, supply thou for mind and body and soul this thy Sabbath day also, and make it yet a good day for her. Lord, strengthen her parents and all about her, and help in all the circumstances. Remember those children who have no desire to be in thy house this day, though brought up under thy truth. Oh, bring them again, Lord. Give them to remember this morning what they have been instructed in their youth, and lead them with weeping and with supplications. Strengthen parents. Oh, bring us in our secret chambers. And wilt thou supply from above in all our impossibilities. Lord, be with us this day. Be on our right and on our left. Take away what does hinder. And wilt thou give us light also in the call that has been extended unto us. Make thy will known, and wilt thou give us to agree. But, Lord, wilt thou help us to bring thy word. Thou knowest all that can come in the way. Lord, take it away. The buyers, the sellers, that we may bring, that we may hear, and that thy Spirit may work. Forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 120, stanzas 2 through 4. On thy strength alone relying, why am I cast off by thee? In my helpless sorrow sighing, and while the foe oppresses me. We announce on Wednesday, December the 8th, I received a ministerial call from the NRC of Linden, Washington. At our last held male members meeting, Mr. Gerhard Brunn was reelected as elder, and Mr. Ben Outsorn was reelected as deacon. Any lawful objections may be brought to the consistory by December the 15th. Michael Henry Klassen and Klassina Paulina Klassen, the Schruvers, wish to join themselves to our congregation from the RCNA at Monarch. Lawful objections may be brought to the consistory by December the 23rd. Psalter 120, stanzas 2 through 4. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. So we heard, congregation, last week, the angel of the Lord, the angel Gabriel, has been sent from above, has been sent unto Zacharias, and then he may bring him glad tidings. He may bring him glad tidings from heaven. His prayer was heard, even though it was such a long time. Even though that he thought and that it was not heard, even though and that all his expectation had ceased, even though that he had ceased to pray, he may hear that his prayer was heard, and his wife Elizabeth, she shall have a son. What a glad tiding. That is what they have desired. That is what they have asked for. That is what they have prayed for so very, very many years. But congregation, it was more than this. It was more than just that Elizabeth shall have a son, because this was to be a very special child. He was a child that was given a special work. That was a child that was to go before the face of the Lord, we read, to prepare his ways. Thus, it was a child that was in anticipation of the fulfillment of another desire. Another desire, a greater desire, a more important desire than that which was temporal, that was living in the heart of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Those glad tidings, they were not so easy to receive. And why not? Because of the suddenness of their coming, of the revelation, and because of the greatness of that message. Here were two, we read, they were righteous before God. Here were two that did exceedingly fear the Lord. Is that also our case? But it was with he and his wife that we read that they are well stricken in years. Thus he has become an old man. And in all of those years, then the hope and the prayer and the expectation that has only very slowly been stripped away from them, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, this angel Gabriel is standing before him with these glad tidings. That their prayer that has been heard, that is too much for Zacharias. When the brothers of Joseph came unto Jacob again, and they said to him, Joseph is yet alive. Then what do we read? The heart of Jacob fainted because he believed them not. Because of the suddenness, because of the greatness of that message. And what do we read of Zacharias? He says, "Whereby shall I know this?" And then the Lord stopped his mouth. Until when? Until it came to pass. And when it came to pass, even, then the Lord still is waiting. Until when? The Lord is waiting until the eighth day. The Lord is waiting until they may come together in that public place, in the temple, in the house of the Lord. The Lord is waiting for the day that that sacrament shall be administered, that sacrament of circumcision. And then, congregation, then it becomes so different. Oh, then that miracle of this outward blessing that is so blessed, that is so sanctified unto Zacharias for a spiritual blessing. Oh, then faith may come in exercise, that he may see things that are shortly to come to pass. And then the mouth of this Zacharias may go open, that all men, and then not only those that were there, but the whole world unto the end of the world, also you and I this day, that his mouth may go open, and that he may speak in a prophecy of that which is coming for the sake of God's people. Oh, then Zacharias had to believe it. Then he could not but believe it, because faith, that is a gift of God. And then he may speak. And he may speak not only about his son, but he may speak also about God's son and the salvation of his people. And this we wish to consider in the words of our text this morning out of Luke 1, verses 78, the second part, through 79. Luke 1, verses 78b through 79. "Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So far, the words of our text. The visit of the day spring from on high. First, the significance of this visit, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Second, the purpose of this visit, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The visit of the day spring from on high. First, the significance. Second, the purpose of this visit. Thus, our text that speaks about a visit. And a visit in this world may have many different purposes. There are visits, boys and girls, that we do make sometimes. If we are in business, then we have to transact some business. Or maybe there is a problem that has to be solved, and then we will make a visit. But this word visit in our text, that is not applied to all of these kinds of circumstances. When we look at every time that it does appear in the Word of God, God's Word uses this word visit only about a very special kind of visit. And what kind of visit is that? That is a visit that we make to a person who is afflicted, who is needy, who is, for example, sick. Thus, James, he speaks about visiting the widows and the fatherless. The Lord Jesus speaks about visiting those that are sick, those that are in prison. We read about Moses, that he visited his people, the people of the Lord. What kind of people were they? They were a people that were in affliction. David, he says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Then he does not speak about a visit of a man to a man, but he speaks about the visit of the Lord to man. Congregation, what a wonder that is. That the Lord will visit a man. That the Lord who is holy, that the Lord who sits in his majesty will visit mankind. Then after the fall, after his rebellion, after his sin, then it is as Zechariah says, through the tender mercy of our God. Those visits, they only last a little while. For God's children, when the Lord may come to visit them. But they are just a foretaste. They are a foretaste of an eternal bliss. When that people, they shall come to dwell forever in the presence of the Lord, then they shall know just a little bit what it means to be visited by the Lord. But our text that speaks actually of a very special visit of the Lord. And what visit is that? That is the visit of the Son of God. That is the visit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom does he visit? What is his special work? He visits the fatherless and the widows and the afflicted and the poor and the needy in this world. Why? Because he says, the whole do not need a physician. Oh, do you ever receive such a visit? Do you desire to receive such a visit of this Son of God? Or are there indeed an Advent people that desire a visit of that Son of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us in the incarnation of the Son of God, then he has visited his people in an external way, then he has visited that Jewish nation. That was a short visit. How long was it, children? The visit of the Lord. The visit of the Lord Jesus when he came from heaven as a child in this world. Then how long did he stay here to visit? That was only for 3 years. And then he was gone again. No, not with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, but with his human nature, he is now in heaven at the right hand of his Father. A short visit, and yet the most significant visit that has ever taken place in this world. It was a visit for the salvation of the church of God. It was in this short visit that he has taken upon himself the human nature. It was in this short visit that he may take that nature on himself, that he may keep it to all eternity, that he may ascend and go away in that human nature with something that he had not when he came. Or it was in that short visit that he has paid the price for sin. It was in that short visit that he has redeemed his church, that he has bought that church for himself, that he has purchased her, or it is in that short visit that he has satisfied the justice of his Father. After 4,000 years, after sin had come into the world, then in that short visit, then that justice of God that was satisfied to remain satisfied to a never, never ending eternity. In that short visit, he has instituted a ministry that he may gather his elect in the end of the world, a church unto himself. Or is there any more significant visit than the visit of that Son of God in this world for those who were so lost and so wretched and so miserable that they could not save themselves, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, Zacharias. He prophesies about of Christ as the day spring. And that word day spring, and that is used in every other occasion in the Word of God for the east, thus pointing to that place where the sun is rising above the horizon. But here it is translated day spring. Thus the day that the spring out of that eastern horizon. When I was young, children, we can see that sunrise here quite well because there's nothing in the way. But where I lived when I was young, there were so many trees and mountains that you could not see that very easy. And one time, and then I went with my brothers down very, very early in the morning to the ocean. And we went there so early that we could watch the sun rise. That was beautiful. But after riding for a long time to come there, then it was remarkable how soon it was over. Because it does not take very long between that time that sun that is first seen to that time that the whole sun may be seen. That is not a very long time. And actually, if you study science a little bit, then you will know that it is actually rising faster than you see it rising because of the refraction of light. You actually begin to see that sun before it is directly in your view. Thus, indeed, the day that is springing, the day that is springing out of the east. But what is now that time that Zacharias is rejoicing? He is rejoicing in this day spring. He is rejoicing when? He is rejoicing at the birth of John the Baptist. That is not yet at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, then he is speaking just as if that day has sprung already, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. How is that? Well, because that is faith. John beholds from the Lord the forerunner. And for a moment when faith may come into exercise, then John may see more than that forerunner. Then John may see further than that forerunner. Then John sees that when that forerunner he is come, then also he before whom he is going, he shall certainly come also. Why? Because God is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the ending. Or what is again the work of John the Baptist? That is to bring to repentance. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, there is great cause of rejoicing when God's church, they may observe someone who begins to weep. Who begins to weep. Zacharias, he is rejoicing already when that forerunner is born. Or is all weeping then something which is from the Lord? Oh, it is not. There are so many tears, congregation, that do not come into the Lord's bottle, that are not written in His book. There are so many tears that flow in this world. But afterwards, men return as a sow to the wallowing in the mire. But, oh, still, that does not take away from the fact that here is now the beginning. And that way that does not go without such tears. Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through him of that voice that was heard in Ramah, lamentation and a great weeping. And then what does the Lord say? The Lord says, there is hope. There is hope in thy latter end. Oh, for Zacharias, he sees the beginning. He sees that making of the way, and then he may believe that the end that shall also come, that is faith. Or congregation, would it not be a great wonder if there would come in our midst a weeping? Would there not now be a great rejoicing in the heart of the true church of God if there may be a mourning observed among us? No, we do not mean a squeezing out of our tears. That is hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. But there is a people who are by times not able to refrain. Oh, how glad that that church would be in such moments. Then it gives to that church hope. Hope for what? Oh, that that day spring that has already begun to arise. And when that day spring arises, and when he visits, then he has a purpose. That is our second thought, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Why? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Naturally, congregation, it is at night dark. Today we make our own light. We have many inventions for that, but actually, naturally, that is, of course, not so. But with all our natural light, also in the night, we are not able to change the fact that it is still dark. Light that comes from the east in the morning, light that comes in the springing of the new day. But it comes from whom? That comes from the Lord. What does Zacharias say? It is the day spring from on high. And then there is no light. When that day springs, there is no artificial light of man that is able to compare with that great light of that sun. Then all that artificial light that is paling in significance, and then we do not need it anymore. Is that not right, children? Then we turn all our lights off. Spiritually, then it is possible that a man compasses himself about, we read in the Bible, with sparks, and he is happy with his sparks, but it will be to his destruction. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. That shall be our end. So that was also in the Jewish nation. Of course, the Old Testament time, that was a time of shadows. That was a time of relative darkness. So that even the promise of the Lord that did come to God's people in that time that was enveloped, that was wrapped, as it were, in darkness. For 400 years, then it became so dark that there was not even a prophet of the Lord. Oh, how dark then it had become amongst the people of the Lord. And when it becomes dark, what happens in the church? Then there is an attempt to fill in. There is an attempt to put something in the place to make up for that darkness. That is what we see. That has happened in that Jewish church. Oh, then it was superstition. Then it was formalism. Then it was actually hypocrisy that does grow, that does come to the foreground. Then it is all to make up for the lack, for the actual darkness. And then how many were not happy with all of their own sparks? But there was a people that were not happy. They were also among that church. They were a people, the Lord says, not man, no, the Lord says. He speaks about those sparks. But the Lord himself, he says there is another people. He says there is a people that fear the Lord. The Lord knows it. And he says they are walking in darkness. And they have no light. Oh, yes, sometimes they also tried, maybe, to make their own sparks. Or maybe they tried by times to make their own light, the superficial light. But then they experience that they actually cannot change the fact that it is dark. Zechariah speaks about a people who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And then there were that people among the Jews. And Zacharias was not a stranger of that way. And then there was a Simeon, we read. Oh, he was a just man. He was a devout man. But he's also an old man. And he was waiting, still waiting, and for the consolation of Israel. And then there was an Anna. Oh, Zacharias knew of the burdens of the people. And Anna, she also knew. Because we can read that later when she is speaking, when she is rejoicing, and when she is speaking unto all those who were looking for redemption in Israel. Oh, there were the people among that church that had gone so far in the darkness to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death.
darkness, congregation, that is what we brought. That is what we have brought upon ourselves in our deep fall. And now there is nothing so dark as death and the grave. Nothing so dark. In regeneration, the Lord gives light. He gives light to a person. And what do they begin to see? That is a mystery. They receive light to see actually how dark it is. Did you ever receive such light? That is a mystery. Oh, they are given light and actually they see nothing but darkness. They are given life and they feel what? They feel death. Darkness, death. Why? Because of the law. Do you know this? Do you know that law? Because of the justice of God, the just requirements of His law. Darkness, death. Why? Because of my own sin. Oh, there is a rejoicing. We said, there is a rejoicing among God's people when they may see that there is a man, that there is a boy, that there is a girl, that they are weeping, they are mourning. But congregation, that people, they are not rejoicing. They are not rejoicing. No, if that people are rejoicing, then it is nothing more than hypocrisy. Oh no, that is not the work of the Lord. Sometimes that mourning people, they may hear something as today. They may hear something, oh, that in the beginning, that there is a mourning, that there is a weeping. They may hear something that gives to them by times a little bit of hope, but it does not last long. And why does that not last? Because congregation, darkness is darkness, and that people, they have no desire to stay in that darkness. They do not love that darkness. As it is often said of the people, no, they do not love that darkness at all. But what do they have to experience? That light, that mourning is from on high. They cannot change even with all their efforts to make their own sparks. They cannot change that fact that it is dark. Oh, Zacharias prophesies concerning this people. He prophesies concerning the day spring. He prophesies about light. A light for a people that do sit in darkness. And he says that light is coming. And he says that light is near. And he speaks about that light as if that it is there already. Soon, he says, very, very soon, he says that mediator. That mediator is going to be revealed. He is going to spring upon that people just as the day that is springing in the morning after a long night. And then what a light. Oh, then what a light that that people may receive when the Lord is opening a way in His only begotten Son. Oh, then they see Him, congregation, then they see Him in a light that they have never seen Him before. All they have heard of Him by the hearing of the ear, maybe all their life long, but now their eye that may behold them when the Lord is giving light. Oh, then they see something. Then they see how it is possible that they may be reconciled unto God. Oh, that desire that they have received in that new birth, that they may be reconciled unto that God whom they have come to love. Now they see how that is possible. Oh, Ruth, We mentioned her last time. She has received gifts. She received gifts on that field of Boaz, from Boaz, but she did not know who he was. But then there came a day. Then there came a day that her mother-in-law spoke to her. Do you know what she said unto her? Ruth, that man is near of kin unto us. That man is one of our next kinsmen. O congregation, what a light. What a light was now in that heart of Ruth. Because long ago already, then the desire of her heart has been expressed in that blessed confession that is expressed in every new birth. Oh, that desire, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. And then she may come by the providence of the Lord upon those fields of Boaz. And then she may receive from the hand of that Boaz those gifts. But she remained so blind, so blind. She did not know who that Boaz was. But when her mother-in-law now spake to her, and she said, Ruth, this man is near of kin unto us. All then, in that moment, then there comes light in the heart of Ruth. And then she sees how it is possible that that desire that has been placed in her heart may be fulfilled, because he is near of kin, the next kinsman. Or is there now a people to whom Christ has been revealed as he who is near of kin to you, your next kinsman? That is what happened on the day of Christmas. Oh, he came in your flesh. Oh, he came to be the near kinsman of his people. And in regeneration, all that desire is born, that I may return unto God. But now, when it becomes Christmas in my soul, then Christ is revealed as that near kinsman. No, it is not yet the marriage. It is not yet the marriage of Boaz and Ruth. That is a further step. Those are the further leadings of the Lord. But it is only an opening. It is the revelation of that way that is now open, that desire that has been planted in my soul, that may be received. Then it becomes possible. Then it becomes possible in all my impossibility. Oh, then that soul that is visited by the day spring from on high. And then there is light. Then there is a light for them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Let us sing from Psalter 448, the fourth verse. Yea, thou shalt make salvation known, that we may be revived again, receiving favor as his own, in free remission of our sin. And what follows in the fourth stanza of Psalter 448.
whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace, what is that? Do you have peace, congregation? You say we are not at war. Well, we would say different if you go to every port of entrance into our country. Then we will realize a little bit that actually we are at war. But peace, peace among men, peace is such a blessed, blessed thing. When there is no discord, when there is harmony among men, that is something to be sought. That is something to be coveted. But how do we achieve it? How do we achieve it? That is sometimes a very, very difficult question. And that is why there is still so much disharmony and warfare and disagreement in the world. Because often we have no light into how to make peace. No light to guide our feet into the way of peace. But congregation, are there now also among us people who see, who feel, that there is no peace between God and your soul? By nature, we do not see this. By nature, we say peace, peace, when actually there is no peace. By nature, we are in denial of our deep fall, of the wrath of God, and we say, Jesus loves you. But it is not so. That was the work of John the Baptist. That is to show that there is no peace. Repent ye. Oh, that the eyes may go open, that it is not well between God and my soul. That is a people that have no rest. Why? Because they do not have peace with God. Are there also such in our midst? That is bad enough, but it also becomes worse. Why? Because you do not know how to make that peace. Because you have no light, no light to guide your feet into that way of peace. Oh, you thought you knew. You thought you knew. I will keep myself from mine iniquity. Then I will not anger the Lord anymore. But it gave you such little rest, or rest for such a very, very short time, that you say, I still am not able to die. I am still not able to appear before God in judgment. What did the Lord himself say about Job? He is a righteous man that feareth God and he escheweth evil. Oh, did Job believe that his righteousness could stand before God? What did Job himself say? How should man be just with God? Because man is not able to answer him one question of a thousand.
And what was it that Job at that time had no light into? No light into a mediator. Neither is there a daysman that he might set his hand upon us both. Then it was so dark, but it did not remain so for him. Oh, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Is there now a people who may receive light that may guide your feet into that way of peace? The day that Christ was born on the earth, that way was revealed to the shepherds who sat in darkness. And the angels of the Lord, they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then there was light in the heavens. There was light somewhere else. Do you know where it is, children? There was light in the souls of those shepherds. Light upon light. Oh, how to guide their feet into that way of peace. That was not a way of peace. Not a peace that the shepherds themselves had to make with the Lord. No, what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Then it was not necessary that the people make peace. That is impossible. So it is experienced in their life. But when did the sword of the angel of the Lord go into its sheath that stood over Jerusalem? That was when David may bring an offering on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Congregation, it is Advent. Oh, is there a people now that may long, that may desire for a visit? A visit from the day spring from on high. The psalmist, he speaks about those who wait for the morning. What are they waiting for? They are waiting for light. They're waiting for that light to appear. Why are they waiting? Because man does not like to wait. Oh, they are waiting because they cannot make that morning appear. Because they can make their own sparks. But it does not take away the fact that it is night. Oh, the day spring. The day spring congregation that is from on high. And blessed, oh blessed, are they that wait, because it will come. It will surely come, and it will not tarry. Oh, and then, what a blessing that people may receive. Then they may receive a blessing that is far greater than the blessing of that natural sun. When it does come over the horizon, day by day. Because when that day springs, oh, then they have light. Then they have life. Then they have liberty. Oh, when that day springs, then their mouth may go open with the Zacharias. When that day springs, then there is light, congregation. It seems like there is light everywhere. Oh, then the darkness, then the shadows, they flee away. Oh, when that day springs, then there is faith. When that day springs, then there is hope. When that day springs, then there is love. Oh, when that day springs, then that mediator, he is made suitable. Then that mediator, he is made precious unto the soul of the people. And then that heart begins to go out after that blessed mediator as the way of peace between God and my soul, and then he becomes to my soul altogether lovely. And then I begin to run after him, and this is now pleasing in the heart of the Father. All are there those that do sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Can you not see that way of peace? Is that now so hidden? Your way is not strange. No, your way is not strange. That church, they have waited. They have waited for 4,000 years. And then what? And then the day sprang. Oh, then it came. Then it came suddenly. Then it came so unexpectedly. Because Paul, he says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, oh, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. That is why the Lord Jesus, he says, I am come. I am come as a light into this world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Amen. O Lord, convert us unto thee. O open, Lord, thy word. O grant us together, all together light to see the darkness. And then, O that morning light, granted in the life of thy children, in the life of those that still sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, bless thy own word. O give us to feel that it is thy word. Give us to know it in our soul when it will come as a light to guide our feet into the way of peace. Bring thou us safely home, and wilt thou bring us with desire together again in this afternoon hour, forgiving all that is sinful in the speaking and the hearing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 320 stanzas 1 through 4. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 1 through 4 of 320.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.